Good afternoon and good evening, guys. I am joined by a couple of the Discord guys. We are going to have a bit of a debate tonight. We are going to tell you, they are going to tell you who the best player is to pick when there's some of these options around. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give them a player and they have to argue the case for that player and why they should be in your fantasy team. So for instance, our first one tonight, Roscoe, you're going to have CNK. Scotty, you're going to have Savage, and SurviveTuber, you're going to have Lachie Miller, okay? So you guys are going to tell us and tell the podcast and tell the NRL fantasy world why each one of those should be in our fantasy teams. So, Roscoe.
Oh, I want bloody Savage.
I could end it.
Oh, come on, you can argue. I reckon you can argue CNK because I know you've watched plenty of footy, mate. Over the years, CNK had a fantastic 2019. So, Roscoe, CNK, why should we be
Yeah, we brought him up last week, didn't we? We spoke about him a little bit. I think he was just getting back to form late last season. And then I think now that he's fully got the fullback role, he's probably not going to, like, get you massive ceiling scores, but I'm pretty confident he'll get you the 35-40 each week. Whether that's enough to justify having him in your team, I'm just not sure. I do like him, and he's sort of that bottom of the run, borderline cash cow keeper that you'd pick up, and I'd probably rate him over Hammer. So he's been in and out of my team all year. So I don't know. I do like him, but I'm not really selling him to you people, am I?
No, you're not really selling him, mate. For someone that I wanted you to sell, you're not really selling him. Well, by the sounds of it, you're not right there. So let's go, Scotty. Let's go to Savage, because that seems to be the other way.
Well, did anyone see his photo that he put up on Instagram or social media earlier? Did you see that, big boy?
All right.
Well, he averages what, 37.6 fullback. He had a couple of lower games there as well, but he had pretty much a full season there last year. He's only going to get better. He's behind a good pack. Let me just have a look at his. Because when I'd be interested to find out his average when Fogarty came back as well.
With Fogarty? So who was that?
Yeah, Savage with Fogarty.
Savage with Fogarty. Let's go. I'll bring it up. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah. Because if it's close to that 40 average there, then he's definitely worth a buy then. Because if he can average just a tick over 40. Like, he's got value. And he's got a high ceiling.
The last three games where he was injured. Scotty, do you want me to include the last three games where he was injured?
Nah.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Timmy. Like, that's what is, like, such a good point about Savage is that it's dropped his average down and they haven't really deducted him. So he only had a 28 average from all his interchanges that he did last year. So good. So cheap.
So he's got a 35 average. He's got a 35 average with Fogarty
on the side.
But that includes a 17, a 31, and a 34 from the last three games of regular season. So other scores, he had a 23 first game back. He had 52, 45, 40, 37, 38, 32, 42, 36. So we're talking about someone that's probably closer to a 38 average with Fogarty in the team.
Okay. See, that's not too bad. Like, you know, and he's going to get his second year full-time fullback, so he's only going to get better, right? It looks like he's put on a bit of muscle as well, so he might break a few more tackles. I think he's...
Do you want to know what his average is without Fogarty in the team?
Yep, go on.
Without Fogarty in the team, he averages 19.
Well, there you go. So, and he does have that high ceiling as well. Like there's going to be a couple of games here where he scores a couple of tries and he could get an 80. So I think.
And Savage, you're right, Scotty. Second year back as well. It's huge.
I think Savage is one where you're going to have to ride the wave a little bit. He may get those low 30s, maybe even a 20 here and there. But then you're just going to have to ride him because he will get those 70s at some stage.
Yeah. All right, Survive Tuber. Probably giving you a bit of a softball here, mate. Lockie Miller. Why should we be picking Lockie Miller in our team?
Well, he's obviously going to get the fullback spot at the Knights, considering Ponga goes at 5'8". He's priced at 420, which is fairly cheap for someone that's averaged 50 in four games at fullback for the Sharks. Looking at his stats, his first game against the Titans, he had nearly 300 yards and like a try. And the only thing is he scores under 50 when he doesn't score a try, and he has 59 and 67 with tries. And that's with like 200 and 300 meters each. And his game against the Doggies, where he got his lowest score, 25, he did have 108 yards, no tries. And I mean, for his price, 426, he's a must buy. I mean, 50 average, anyone would take that. And he's probably going to gain like 100 or 200K cash like Savage last year.
Scotty, are you concerned in that situation around Lockie Miller? And this is my argument against Lockie Miller, and particularly around the Knights spine. So it'll come up again when we talk about Hastings, but basically the Knights spine won't have trained together before round one.
Nah.
Is that a concern?
Nah, I don't think so. I think Miller will come pretty prepared. I think he's a pretty fit bloke. So I'm not really worried about that, to be honest, at all.
Yeah, I think, Roscoe, I think it's a fair thing. If you had to pick one, it would be Miller. If you had to pick two, it would be Savage. Would you like that?
Yeah, I think so. Can I throw another Smokey into the mix, given...
Go for it, mate.
He might get... He's probably going to get DPP. Is your boy, Joseph Suwali?
Yeah. So Joseph is... How much is he priced at?
489.
He's... Yeah.
So he's that little bit more expensive. He's going to get the DPP. I really like him. I'll argue for him in this case. I think I really like him. He's going to get that DPP. He's going to be at centre predominantly. One of the issues, and he's going to be at left centre, which is where the majority of teams attack. One of the problems last year for Suoli on the wing was that his centre wasn't actually there because Joey Manu would go off in field. So he would get caught out sometimes and would get... And obviously wouldn't necessarily be there to get the good ball all the time because Joey Manu would go off in field. I think at left centre, I think that makes Suoli a really good prospect. I think you can look at a 40, around that 40 sort of mark. I think that's a fair thing. And especially with that DPP, he's going to be someone that's going to be really, really valuable with the buys and everything like that. So he's probably one that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking I can go with probably three of Savage, Suoli and Miller at this point in time.
Very good.
All right. So next one up, we are looking at Carrigan Cotatino. Now we've talked about these guys in the earlier pods. Guys, please, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, please go back and listen to the podcast 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 from this year. We do a bit more of a breakdown on all of these guys. But, Roscoe, would you like Cotter being a former Cowboys?
Yeah, righto.
Fan? You can have Cotter. Survive Tuber, you can have Carrigan. And what do you reckon, Scotty? Tino? You can look after Tino for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's start with Pretty Boy Tino. Scotty, why should people be picking Tino?
Well, it seems like Aaron Clark's pretty much locked up that lock role. And Tino goes better when he plays front row. You look at the back end of his last year, he went 75 in round 23, 77 round 24 and 62 in round 25. He probably averaged around 72 minutes, and that was at prop. And then you look at the two games before that, you got 49 in 56 minutes, and then 60 in 61 minutes, which is a ridiculous PPM. Like, that's, there's some big scores. They're keeper level stuff. That's higher than, you know, what Haas usually gets. So, yeah, look, and obviously he's captain, so he's got responsibility. I just don't know about the Titans. Like, 771K is a lot of money too. It's definitely going to be a pod option if you want to go down that path. But for me, I'm steering clear at the start. I need more data, please.
Yeah. So we did see last year that he was going to do very well. It's probably, yeah, as you said, Scotty, that question around the Titans rather than around Tino, because Tino came out at the over the preseason and he said that he wants to be on the field as much as possible, doesn't like being off the field, and he sees that that's his role, that's his job as captain, is about being on the field. Survive Tuber. Carrigan, buddy. Why would you go with Carrigan over Cotter or Tino?
Carrigan over Cotter or Tino, probably because he's obviously he was a pod last year. This year he isn't, but he's still a solid 50-plus scorer. He gets, like, about 60 to 70 minutes at lock. And if Haas, like, is out for the first few weeks, he's even better at prop because his one game at prop last year, he had 66. So, I mean, if Haas isn't starting for, like, the first few games due to personal reasons, Carrigan will probably be, like, a buy for the beginning, and then he'll probably be, like, a sell after that, in my opinion.
Yep. Now, the counter-argument. Scotty, the counter-argument around Carrigan. There's a number of mouths to feed now, especially with Tapau joining the Broncos, that potentially affecting Carrigan's minutes. You can also argue that Haas probably doesn't miss the first round. I think Floggy made a really good point a couple of weeks ago that realistically, Haas's job is really, really easy. So when he gets on the field, he doesn't have to do a lot of the extra thinking, even though there's a lot of stuff going on in his personal life. Scotty, the counterpoint on Carrigan.
Yeah, I don't personally have him. Obviously, he always seems to suffer an injury. Or at least one injury season. He missed six, seven rounds last season. He also got down to 602K last year. So he lost 114K early doors. So, yeah, look, 716K, I see why a lot of people are looking at him, but I'll give Cookie some credit and I'll give TK some credit. Haas starts fast. I don't know why more people aren't looking at Haas. Everyone's looking at Carrigan, but Haas average, Cookie knows the stats, but Haas averages over 60, 65 in his first six games or whatever. So I think Haas is the way to go instead of Carrigan, but that's just my
If only Cookie was here to defend it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, well, it's a real shame that he doesn't have the knackers to get up here tonight.
Letting the fans, you know, down, Cookie.
It is what it is. You know, we have to deal with that.
Now, the reason I didn't include Haas in that collection is Haas is a little bit more expensive than those guys. He's over that 800K mark. So when we start getting into that Payne Haas sort of territory, we're starting to talk about the genuine, the big dogs, your really big guys, your Cam Murrays, all that sort of stuff. So I really want to focus on those guys in that 700 to 800K range, because what I'm seeing in a lot of teams is that they've got one big gun, one 700 to 800K gun, and then one 600K gun or one 600K mid. Is that kind of what you're seeing as well, Roscoe? That sort of breakup?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just one of those things that with the cap, you got to break them up somehow. You can't have all the guns.
So, Roscoe, Cotter. And now he's the other one in this mix, is that we're talking about Carrigan, we're talking about Cotter, as we talked before about Tino, but Cotter really really showed everyone last year that he's someone that people need to have in fantasy. He's fun to watch from a footy perspective.
Oh, the mullet. The mullet alone just gets the old Kanakas giddy in the morning. But, mate, like when he's running, he's got the heat. He's bringing the Brisbane Heat up behind him. So, like, 0.92 PPM, average 52. What is he, 744? I think it's just like if you can guarantee that Cotter's getting 60 minutes plus, he's a dead set buy because he's just a machine that'll just run and tackle all day. So the more minutes means more points, basically. And I feel that he's only going to get better from that World Cup experience. And the Cowboys have a bloody good run, don't they? So I can't see really any negatives in regards to Cotter. The only one that I would say is him losing his DPP.
Yeah. So Cotter last year or Cotter this year is priced at around about that 50, 52, 53 mark. When starting at prop, he played 60, average 61 minutes for 56.2 points. So there's a small little upside there in points, which pushes him to the 800K sort of price.
Yeah. So when he played like he had 63 minutes for 68 points last year, 75 minutes for 59, 80 minutes prop at 71 points. So if he can get some big minutes, it means massive points.
Yeah.
And this is where, Timmy, you got to take the buy into consideration too. So he'll have 13 games straight and then straight into Origin. And that's where you drop him because they have three buy rounds at the back end. I've got easy my side at the moment.
Peaking just before Origin 2, wasn't he? He ramped it up.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. So last year there were games that he played four games over 60 minutes. He played an 80-minute game, a 75-minute game, a 63 and a 64-minute game. If he does happen to get over that 60-minute mark, he averages 70 minutes and 67 points. So if he does get over 60 minutes, he's way too cheap.
He is.
Generally, we're expecting him to play around about that 62, 63 sort of mark.
Oh, if he's playing 62 minutes, he's a dead set buy. That's a no-brainer. Taking over time.
Yeah. So who do we pick? If you've got to pick one, Survive Tubi, you've got to pick one, who would you pick?
Probably Cotter.
Scotty, same?
Yeah, mate, I've got Cotter. No carrying or not.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The next one up is the second gun half that we're all kind of looking at. So we've got Burton, we've got Hastings, we've got Dewey, and we've got Roscoe, your boy Sam Walker. So I'll argue for Burton. Survive Tube, you can argue for Dewey. Scotty, you can argue for Hastings. And Roscoe, you can argue for Walker. How does that sound?
Brilliant. Let's do it.
All right. Survive Tube, I reckon you can go first with Dewey. He's the most expensive out of the lot. He is one that we are talking about. His ownership isn't particularly high, but people seem to have this choice between Dewey and then the rest. So tell me why we should pick Dewey.
So Dewey, he's under 800K, which is ideal. And he's probably going to be a pod this year because right now he's only less than 3% owned by players. Last year, he had an average of 62, and in 2021, he had an average of 61. So, I mean, he's a 60-plus scorer, and for 700K, that's not bad. I think he has value. He could gain a bit of cash, so like 820 to 50, but he's probably a season keeper. And the fact that he's earned less than 3%, if he actually pops off on the first game, that would actually like give you a big boost to your start.
Survive, Survivor Super, do you think having the better forward pack is an advantage, or do you think it's actually going to hinder him because there's going to be more mouths to feed just across the whole Tigers team?
So we know he's been a big tackler in the past. That's 100% going to decrease. But, I mean, obviously because there's more mouths to feed, he's going to have more goal kicking, which Tigers have always lacked last year. And he's probably going to have more line assists in like line breaks and try assists. And he might get a few more offloads. And but kick meters would also decrease. So that's one thing we've got to keep an eye out on.
Yeah. All right. Scotty, I want to hear about Jackson Hastings before I talk about Matt Burton. Tell me about Jackson Hastings, please.
Yeah, look, I've still got him in my side at the moment. Games last year averaged 46 at halfback. Obviously, he copped that foot injury, which would have had a massive effect on his fantasy scores. The only thing, I just really worry if the Newcastle are going crap, I don't know what they're going to do. That's my only worry. Like, if they don't start the season fast, Adam O'Brien could be out of a job real quick. And then, I don't know, you just don't know what's going to happen. So, and especially if Newcastle are going crap, then Hastings is going to be defending a lot. Frizzell missed a few tackles last year, so which is on the same side as Hastings. So, yeah, look, I'm sort of swaying, but, yeah, we'll see how he goes.
All right. Well, Matty Burton looks like one that most people are running with. He's currently got an ownership of 17%, which seems to be the case for people that want to go with that gun second half. He's about 718K. At this stage, he looks like he's still doing a fair chunk of the kick meters, average 430 kick meters with Flanagan in the side. The other thing with Flanagan in the side, he does have an uptick, a small uptick in points. About 1 or 2 points as well, because he started the year without Flanagan at halfback. This will be the first actual preseason where he's trained with Flanagan at halfback. I think they trialled Avarillo there at one point during preseason last year and a number of other random combinations. They always talk about when people come back from Australian World Cup kind of things, Australian tours and stuff. I talk about guys coming back as better players. I think Burton's going to get a lot out of that tour. I think he's going to spend a lot of time around a number of really good players in the game. I think he's going to come back an even better player. For me, based on price, based on ownership, based on potential, I reckon Burton is the second gun half to start with. Roscoe, you brought up Walker.
I did.
Now, I've heard TK on his podcast talk about Sam Walker. I kind of had thrown it away because I thought TK had a bit more of a love interest with Sam Walker than actual fantasy. But you're there as well.
I am there. I only bring him up because everyone's raving about bloody Hastings, and Sam Walker's cheaper. And I think that his prospects and potential for a massive ceiling is way, way higher than Hastings. So I think it's a good alternative. I think obviously he's going to be goal kicking, and the way he finished the year last year, like, you only have to look at his last like 8 games, he was punching out 60. So, lots of goals, lots of try assists, and he's getting his body. He's a tough little bugger, so plenty of kick meters, plenty of tackles. I think the year's only going to – he's only going to improve this year. I think he's is a really, really good spicy pod to have.
That's interesting. So he's 638K, so about 7K cheaper. He's priced at 42, 43, 44. Let's just have a look at something. Halfback, Luke Keary. So with Kiri in the side, at when Sam Walker's at halfback, he averages 47. Because there were those games last year, wasn't there, Roscoe, where Sam Walker was actually trying to play 5'8", and Luke Kiri was
halfback. Yeah.
But when Sam Walker's actually at halfback, he's got an uptick of about 4 or 5 points as well.
I think they've nailed that now, and I think they'll be better for it. They were ironing out a lot of kinks last year, so I think they know that Sam Walker's a seven. So, yeah, I think there's just so much potential in him. I just can't scream it loud enough. Like, I just don't know why people aren't really talking about him. Is it his size or his I just don't know why he's not being spoken about. But, yeah, I'm going him over Hastings any day.
Yeah. And in terms of that, I think the other side of that, Roscoe, we've talked about a number of times how Roosters could have an absolute field day in the first couple of rounds, which means that Walker's going to get lots of goals.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, if you wanted to – if you didn't want to keep him for the whole year, you could make some pretty fast cash if they – all those Roosters boys rack up some big scores. So, yeah, it's an interesting take, but it's food for thought.
Scotty, which way are you going? You got to pick one of those four.
I've got Hastings in my side at the moment, but I'm thinking of Burton. Seriously. Yeah.
Survive Tuba? Good chat.
Sorry, I have AD in my team and I'm probably going to keep him.
Yep.
What Roscoe, about you, Timmy?
Have you swayed yourself? Have you swayed yourself to go with Sammy Walker or are you going to run with Burton?
My team.
You've got to be careful with Walker, Roscoe. Only because they got the bye round four. Like,
yeah, I do.
That's really annoying.
Yeah, you've got Tana Boyd on the bench, so yeah, it is annoying. Yeah, it's one of those things that you just got to weigh up pros and cons. But yeah, who knows? I've got him in my team at the moment with Cleary, but I don't know. I've seen a lot of teams lately without Cleary.
Oh, lots of, because you'll have Cheese as well, won't you?
Yeah,
so you'll have almost 1.1 mil in the
sideline for.
Yeah, that is risk, isn't it?
Yeah. It'd be right. She'd be right, mate.
I think I'm on the Burton train. I'm thinking with a few other guys around him, I really do think Burton's probably the one. So, yeah, I'm probably running with Burton as well, Scotty. I think that sort of price between Hastings, Walker and Dewey, I think that kind of makes him the better prospect as well. All right, next one up. Let's go to what we got. Lost my place. Oh, the injured brigade. Turbo, Ponga, and Walsh. Now, the debate around these guys is particularly in that wing fullback spot, but you've got to figure out, are you going to spend the money on a Turbo, Ponga, or Walsh? Less about Walsh in terms of injury, but Turbo and Ponga, they've got injury history. Walsh has got, he's had really, really big highs, but also he's had some really big lows. And so I wonder whether he's someone that people are going to be, I mean, people are talking about him, whether he'll be in their team or not. I don't know. Roscoe, I reckon you can argue for Ponga. I reckon Survive Tuber, you can argue for Turbo. And I reckon I want to hear you, Scotty. I want to hear you tell me why people should pick Walsh.
Walsh.
Scotty, let's start with Walsh. Let's get him out of the way.
Oh, I wouldn't be picking him. That's pretty much it. Losing the goal kicking. You know, he might kick a little bit, but his kick meters might be there a little bit, but might get a little bit more attacking upside. But as we know, like with the Broncos as well, the wheels can fall off very quickly. Like, so once the wheels fall off, what's going to happen? Walsh is going to be in trouble off-field, off-field drama as well. He's known for that, so.
Does have a history.
Yeah, I don't think I'd even risk having him, Mark. Yeah.
Sorry, you reckon he's an absolute? You reckon he's an absolute void?
Not an absolute void, but I wouldn't be picking him up. There's not enough upside, I don't think, unless Broncos are scoring 30-plus points a game.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair. Well, that takes us to the other two. Roscoe, what do you reckon?
I'm doing Ponga, aren't I? Oh, bloody...
You're doing
bloody
Ponga.
Bloody Ponga. Have a go at him.
Oh, we've all seen him. I think he's only... My only thing that I would say and be wary of is just his bloody head knocks. So if we can get some protection for him and have a bash brother beside him, helping him make some tackles, I think he's shown that he can be class. Like, he's a very classy player. He's bloody awesome on his day, but can go very missing. If, like Scotty said, if Newey starts slow and all the chips start falling down, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be a Ponga owner, that's for sure. So, I've seen a lot of teams that haven't got him in now. He was very popular at the start when Fantasy opened, but I think everyone's reined it back in.
He's down to 5.9% ownership now. At one point, he was up at 25%.
Couldn't sell you on him. But it could be a massive like play if he does brain it.
Is there any concern around him at 5'8" in particular? So when you go and have a look at his history, he's got a 43 average at 5'8". Realistically, he's got four games in the 30s and a 75.
Sample size not very big. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think he's a lot more mature nowadays. not that mature given his antics off the field. But I don't know. I just feel like his footy mind is grown a lot since probably he played 5'8" last. So I don't know. I'm keen to see what he can do. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Survive Tuber, you get Turbo. Now, Turbo is on his way back. Everything he has said is that he's going to play round one. He will play round one, but Manly have a bye round two, and Turbo has a history.
Yeah, for me, he's in a void. Last year in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games that he played, he had an average of 37.6. So, I mean, even at 638K, he's probably not worth it. And he's probably going to have, like, minute restrictions, or he's probably going to take it slow considering his injury history. So for me, he's just an early avoid. Unless he actually shows up, for now it's an avoid.
Scotty, someone like Trbojevic, do you think he's a buy in round three rather than round one, or even a little bit later in the season?
Yeah, potentially. I think so. You gotta get a good sample size though. Like, you gotta see how he plays. We all know Latrell came back and killed it last season, so going to the US. So hopefully it has done him some good and he does come back the player that we all know he can be, because he's one hell of a player. But yeah, he'll definitely be a pickup sometime this year. I'm hoping he loses a little bit more money. 100K would be nice, and then he'll probably pick up a 550K or somewhere thereabouts. But, yeah, I wouldn't start with him. I think it's too risky.
Yeah. Yeah. Roscoe, is there really any one of those three that you're wanting to start with, or is there too much risk for all three and you really probably shouldn't start with either of them, any of them at this stage?
Oh, yeah, you nailed it on the head. But if I was forced to have one of them, I'm going Turbo all day. I just think he's such a high pedigree, and
I can just see all the upside of Turbo rather than the other two. So, but that's only if I'm forced to have one. If in a normal world like it is now, I'm not taking any of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I've jumped off. I had them all in my team at different stages. I've jumped off them all. I just can't make the argument, especially when I've got someone like Miller that I'd rather have in my team. I just can't really make an argument for any of them. All right, let's go into Teddy versus Manu versus Latrell. Now, of those guys, Teddy and Manu are both obviously at the Roosters. We do like the Roosters' start to the season. Teddy, the myth around Teddy being a slow starter doesn't exist anymore. SurviveTuber, you can argue for Teddy. Scotty or Roscoe, who wants Latrell?
Pass.
Scotty, unlucky, mate. Pass. You're too slow. You get Latrell. Scotty, you got Latrell. And Roscoe, you can argue for Manu.
If you want, I'll take Latrell.
Oh, righto, go on. You can have Latrell.
Oh, Cookie's gone because Latrell got mentioned.
All right. Scotty, let's go with Teddy first up. Why should we start the year with Teddy? There's not a lot of money to spend on fullback for either of these three. Why should you start with Teddy?
Well, you just look at those first two games that they play and you go, oh, my God, gee whiz, he could get back-to-back hundreds. But in saying that, they got the bye round four. And then Teddy always has these runs where he loses 100 or 150K and then you pick him up. And with Joey Manu in the side, if he's roaming around, then he's obviously going to take some points off him. So I think it's far too much coin at the moment to get Teddy. I think he is obviously he's a quality player, but I think he's way too expensive to start the year off. And I think it'll ruin your team if you end up starting with him and the Cleary. So, yeah, I think you have to sacrifice in the backs there.
Interesting. Roscoe, now Manu is kind of the other side of that. Manu equally is going to have those same teams that Tedesco is going to have.
Sure is, yeah. Manu's been given the roaming role. So we got a massive sample size last year, what he can do in the middle, roaming around without really a position. So if he can just... I know his stats when he's at centre isn't that great, but I think this is more of a hybrid year where it's he's not really got a position in attack. So he could just be playing like a second Teddy sort of role. I'm very excited to see him. I've had him in a couple of drafts in the team, but I've just been talked off him. And obviously owning too many Roosters players early is a bit dangerous. So I'm so excited. I reckon he's going to be like up there with one of the best backs you can own at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those tricky ones to get in, but I think we're all going to want him in around Origin. We know when he goes over Origin, and I think he's going to be a tricky one to try and get in. And those that can, they'll be the ones that really kick on over Origin. All right, SurviveTuber. You've got the best fullback in the competition, depending on who you ask.
Anyway, Latrell, he's 777K, average of 52 last year. He has a tough start, so I mean, for the beginning of season, definitely not a buy. He's Cronulla, Penrith, then Roosters. When he reaches like the Dolphins, Doggies, and then like that, so like that's round six, I think. Then he should be a buy, considering he's probably going to be lost most of his cash by then, or not most. At least he'll be like 700K maybe. He's not a starting buy, but he should be a buy when you move up your cheapies like Savage or Miller.
And the really interesting thing about that, I just had a look. I had no idea that he had a 15% ownership. So just going through it, Teddy has a 25% ownership. Manu has an 18% ownership. And Latrell has a 15% ownership in teams currently. Like, Latrell came back last year. Scotty, you mentioned this before about Latrell coming back from America, meeting with the knee guru, and came back really, really good. He had so many try assists on the back of it. I think he ended up being leading for try assists or something like that in a very few amount of games. Latrell's got such a huge ceiling, doesn't he?
Oh, 100%. I think, look, I don't like him as a person player, but all in all, he's a really, really, really top player. If South are any chance, he's got to be fully fit going into finals.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, fantasy wise, obviously, I reckon he's going to get a couple of centuries this year. I think he will.
100%.
I do think he will. He'll be in that top three fullback category, I think, unfortunately. But he's just that good. He can turn up whenever he wants. He can produce 20-point plays out of nothing or 25-point plays, and you know, he's just there. Yeah. He's a freak.
Yeah. Well, we talk about it a little bit when we talk about Dave Feeder, the idea that he can make 25, 30 points in a single run. And it's the same with Latrell. It's the exact same. He can make so many points in a very, very short amount of time. He's a red zone fullback, so he shows up when it's when it's time to attack.
The only good thing is they've got a really, really hard run at the start. So we're hoping for a couple of, you know, crap scores from him, loses value, and then you pick him up after that hard run. Because they've got a really hard 6 weeks or so at the start. So
yeah. And then they've got the bye late, so it's tricky. So you got to
then Origin
middle half. Yeah.
So what is that?
You made a good point about hitting centuries, Scotty. Like, I feel like the competition's so spread with the top teams and the bottom teams that I think all three of these blokes are going to be smashing centuries this year, hey?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree.
In the first 10 rounds, Rabbitohs have Penrith twice, Melbourne twice, Cronulla, Manly, Canterbury, Dolphins, Broncos, and Sydney. So there's going to be games where he gets 30s in that run. There's going to be games where he gets 50s in that run. And there's very possibly going to be 100s as well. He could come out with
a send-off or two.
He could come out with a 55 average over the first 10 rounds, but you've got 200s, 230s, and a few 50s. So there's also that level of inconsistency that's going to be there. All right, Lenti, you've just joined us. You've got to pick one of those three fullbacks to start with. Which one are you picking?
Who was it?
Manu.
Yeah, the king.
Teddy, Manu, Latrell.
Oh, Jesus. I'll go Teddy. It's hard to go past him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about Latrell's hard run. It doesn't bother him that much. He can turn up, like Scotty said, turn it on when he wants. He's that good of a player. But, yeah, I just think the Roosters early buy is a bit of a problem. It's going to be a bit of a problem for people getting Roosters players because round four is not ideal. But, yeah, I think for me it's Teddy. Yeah, I mean, we've seen what he can do. He just wants his hands on the ball all the time. So, yeah, I'll go Teddy still.
Yeah, no, fair. I love it. All right. Next one up is TPJ versus RFM versus Wilton. Now, to give you guys some context, they're all around that 500 to 600K mark, all available at Edge. Plenty of teams have been looking at TPJ, thinking that there's an uptake in minutes. RFM has just been appointed club captain, and Teague Wilton looks like he will get the second spot at some point in the Sharks season this year, because Wade Graham came out and said that Wade is actually spending time playing in the middle. Wade isn't going to be a 80-minute edge this year. So, Lenti, who would you like to argue for? Wilton?
Yeah, all right, I'll go Teague. Yep.
All right, if you go Teague, Scotty, do you want to go TPJ? And Roscoe, do you want to go RFM? All right, let's do it. Let's start with TPJ. I think he's the one that most people are looking at, Scotty. Let's talk about TPJ.
Yeah, look, TPJ, offloading king. He actually played quite well under Serrato when he went to the Panthers, came off the bench, was a bit of an impact player, played usually in the prop rotation. It's pretty tough to say where he's actually going to play this season, but I do know he did get the shits when Scope left him out of the starting 13 in his predicted lineup. So I wouldn't surprise me if TPJ is in that starting lineup somewhere. Where that is, I'm not too sure. But look, what's he priced at? 590. He's had seasons where he's gotten up to that 750K mark and averaged 55-ish. Look, it's a bit of a risk, and he doesn't have that dual position anymore. So I'd probably steer clear. It's pretty tough to know how many minutes each one of those Bulldogs players are going to get in the forwards, especially because they got plenty of big minute forwards there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Roscoe, RFM.
Fellas. Yeah, well, we're talking pre-podcast about how he's got a big role in the club now. He's part of the captaincy group, and obviously there's an edge roll-up for grabs with kicks. So there's talk that he's probably going to be one of the front runners at least for that role. And if it is an 80-minute role, I think he's shown like a couple of years ago when he was starting, he can hit some massive scores like 70s and 60s in 2020. So he averaged 50, 51 in that year when he was starting on the edge. So, mate, he's got some big value to make if he can punch out 50s. He's pretty dynamic, offloading, tackle breaks. Yeah. I think it's a pretty good solid buy if he is named.
100%. All right, Lenti, tell us why we should all start with Wilton.
Oh, I think if he gets an 80-minute role, I think just the pure value he presents. This is priced at 536, that mid-range sort of getting up there a bit. But if he jags that 80-minute spot, like you said, with Wade Graham training in the middle and getting on and stuff, and probably the body's not letting him play those big minutes anymore. If he can get it, then he definitely presents a lot of value. Like over his career, at 80 minutes in the back row, he's 53.5 average. And if he's priced at, what is he, 38, 39 now, that's at least 10, 11, 12 points there of value. Mm-hmm. So that's allows you to upgrade to someone later in the season, like a Papali'i or a Crichton or one of those big guns. But if he's putting up 50s and 60s, there's no reason why you'd punt him. I mean, that'd be a luxury trade at that point. But like the only concern for me is him getting that 80-minute roll on the edge. If he gets it, he's gold. But like with Wade Graham there and things, if he just plays at 50 to 60, he won't present as much value. He'll still have some value there. But yeah, I think for me, he has to get that that starting edge role. And then maybe later in the season, he gets it and you pick him up. I mean, it just depends on time and when he gets it. But yeah, there's definite value there for me for Wilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Survive Tuber, which one are you going to pick to start with? You've got to pick one, TPJ, RFM, or Wilton. Which one are you going to pick?
Probably RFM because he's like the cheapest, I think.
Cool, love it. All right, with the four of you guys, we're going to go into some of our other guys. Scotty, we talked about this pre-podcast, and we talked about this next one. We feel it's probably relatively cut and dry. But there are some other aspects around it. So we've got Gilbert, Horsburgh, Elliott, and Barnett. Let's go. Scotty, you can have Gilbert because he's a Dolphins boy. Survive Tuber, you can have Horsburgh. Roscoe, you can argue for Elliott. And Lenty, you can have Barnett.
Righto.
All right, let's start with Tommy Gilbert. Now, he's the only one in this group that has the DPP. Why should we buy Tommy Gilbert? Sorry, Scotty's gone. Roscoe, you want to argue for Gilbert?
Oh, you do Gilbert.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, mate, you all yours.
All right, I'll do Gilbert. Mate, I'm looking at him going with that DPP. I think there's, you have a bit of a look around. Barnett's got the DPP as well. But I think there's a possibility where Gilbert has a lot more, has a lot bigger role to play in that Dolphin side. I don't think he's got, I don't think there's a lot of other options. I know there's been talk about Stone coming on and things like that. I think there's a world where Gilbert kind of takes on that very, very similar role to Cam Murray. I think Wayne, when he was at the Bunnies, he kind of used Cam Murray really well. He put him on for about 60, 65 minutes. If he had to play a little bit bigger, he'd spend some time out on an edge. And we know that when Gilbert was on an edge last year, that he did make plenty of tackles. And he's still going to make heaps of tackles in the middle. So I reckon there's probably an argument around a poor man's Cam Murray. And I really like that DPP, especially with a number of guys in those middle and edges that we're probably looking to start with that are going to have early buys. So I do like that DPP. Survive Tuba, what about Horsburgh?
Depending on how much minutes he can get with obviously Elliott gone now, his PPM's pretty similar, so like 1 point per minute about. Yeah, and it depends how many minutes he gets. I mean, if he's going to get 45 minutes plus, or like 40 to 50 minutes, he's like a 50 average. So, I mean, he could be someone that you can start with if like he can afford it. But if he's going to get his old minutes, like it's so weird. Like, he's sometimes getting 30, sometimes getting 50. He's just not worth it then.
Yeah. So at 50 minutes, when Horsburgh gets 50 minutes in a game, or over 50 minutes, he averages 48. He's priced at 41. So there's that big uptake. When he's played lock previously, he has, at 50 minutes there, he averages 48.6 when he plays over 50 minutes, particularly a number of games where he played at lock, where he's got some good scores and a pretty good PPM. So he's definitely one to look at. Could be one to, if he gets close to that sort of Adam Elliott, when Elliott was at lock, he could definitely be one to pick up. The concern, Roscoe, and you can probably talk to this as for me instead, but the concern for Horsburgh is whether he actually gets that lock spot, or if someone like Trey Mooney pushes through, or even Emre Guler, who we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Yeah, I think he is next in line, to be fair. He's done the hard yards, mate. He's played so many games off the bench. And I think he's only started 10 games in his whole life, his whole career. So I think he's due, mate. It'd be hard for him to cop one of the younger blokes jumping him. So I think he's the next cab off the rank.
Yeah. Roscoe, just... I'll cut this bit out, but if your phone dies, it's all good. I'll bring Griffo up.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, no worries.
Charge at your dog. That's rubbish. Acceptable. Unacceptable.
All right. The next one up was Adam Elliott. So, Roscoe, sell us on Elliott.
Yeah. Man, I'm a big fan of him. Hey, like I missed out last year's boom with him. Oh, so filthy. I didn't get on. Everyone else made so much cash off him. Ended up being a great buy. But, when he's playing lock, right, he's averaging probably like close to 55, 60 minutes. I see at least 8 to 10 points in value. So averaging around 52 at the very least, and he plays round 13, break even 42. So 606, I think, is a no-brainer, right? I think he's there for just making bulk tackles and trucking it up once a set and, getting busy in the middle.
He's the very obvious piss bunch, isn't he, Lenti?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, out of those, yeah, Elliot for me. Barnett, he's got good value if he's on an edge, but according to what's coming out of New Zealand and other podcasts and things like that, Barnett's playing more of a middle role. But and with Tohu there, you're just not going to get the big minutes. When he plays big minutes, Barnett's in the middle, absolute fantasy beast, but he's just not going to get those massive minutes with Tohu and all those other Meowser feed, AFB and things like that. So Elliott's, yeah, for me, it's the obvious choice. Yeah. I mean, Barnett's a watch like a lot of these boys are. If there's a couple of injuries in that Warriors pack, then yeah, there's a whole different ball game for Barnett, depending on where they put him. But for now, the jewel's tempting, but yeah, for now, he's a bit of a pass for me.
The other thing to watch with Barnett, apparently he's been training as one of the two goal kickers. So obviously, if he gets a bigger minute role, that means he's more likely to do the goal kicking as well. So that's probably one to keep an eye on, because if he is doing the goal kicking, there is a little bit of points uptake as well for him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and Johnson doesn't have the greatest injury history either. So, I mean, there is those chances that he misses a game or two or three here or there. So, and Barnett probably takes that goal kicking there. But yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a wait and see for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's go on to the next group. We've got Gula, we've got Tuikamano, we've got, it's not Kobe Hetherington. What's the Hetherington that's gone to Newcastle?
Jack,
thanks, man. Jack Hetherington and Makatoa. All right. Let's go with, which one do you want, Linty? You want Makatoa? You want your boy?
Oh yeah, right. I'll go the blue and gold legend. Right.
All right. Survive, you can have Tuikamano. I think hopefully we'll get someone back in a minute, but I'll argue for Gula, and then we can all jump together to argue for Hetherington if we want to. Let's start with your boy Lenti.
Righto. Well, yeah, I don't know. Maddo missing the first three games doesn't help him. I mean, he probably will get in the 17 for those three, but I think after that, it's maybe a bit unlikely. I don't know if I see him in our 17 when everyone's fit. He might have some good value, in those first three rounds, but I mean, is it worth, I don't know. You'd have to have a look at minutes he could play. And I think he probably plays about half an hour off the bench. He's got a good PPM, Makatoa as well. So, I mean, it could present some value there, but it'd be a real short-term cash cow. You wouldn't, Otherwise, I don't think he's going to make our 70, and I think he's going to play a bit of New South Wales Cup this year and stuff with Murchie coming on the bench and, a few other boys. Quite Rodwell's going to get a few games, I think, this year. He's looking all right, so... Yeah, a very short-term cash cow. He's worth it. I mean, he's cheap at 302 or something. So,
yeah.
But I think he's just going to be that quick grab. That'd be if you're going to do it. Otherwise, he's going to, hurt you in the end, I think. Bit of a red dot every week, really. So
the four of these guys are all in that sub 400K mark. There's a whole range of reasons around these guys where there's going to be some uptake in minutes, particularly, for instance, Makatoa is going to have an uptake in minutes for the first few rounds while Madison's out. There's that possibility. Why do you think he's probably not going to make your best 17? Do you reckon it's just because there's better players, particularly someone like Rodwell and stuff like that, in and around it?
I think so, yeah. I don't even know. Makatoa is nearly 30, I think. So I think he's bit long in the tooth, but I think Rodwell has a bit more go on him. I don't know, you never know though. He may play really well and keeps him in the 17, you never know. But for me, if everyone's fit, I don't think he does make the 17. No, I think we, more than likely carry Jacob Arthur, or more than likely it'll be him. Murchie, probably Nathan Brown and Maddo, or something. It'll be something like that, I think. So
Yeah.
We'll see how, yeah. I just don't think he makes the 17 if everyone's fit.
Yep, absolutely. Survive Tuba. Yuta Kamanu. Now, plenty of talk around him inside a big Tigers pack. Sell us on why we should probably start the year with Yuta Kamanu in our 21s.
Looking at NRL's predicted 17 for the Tigers, they have Stefano starting at prop. And historically, he's pretty good when he starts. So, I mean, if that's how the Tigers want to roll it out, I mean, Stefano's 100% a buy. He's starting prop. Mm-hmm. But there's also the factor that in he's probably going to get less minutes. So it's pretty much what we see in preseason for now. And, yeah, it's a wait.
Yeah. All right, so there is some doubt there. And the other part there with Yuta Kamanu is there's, we've talked about it before, but there's plenty of mouths to feed in that forward pack for the Tigers. You've got to imagine that they've still got to try and get minutes into off of Hengawa. You've got to get minutes into potentially Twall. There's rumours that Batamua is going to start in the 13 jersey. Potentially Blaws be there somewhere. And then Fanua Pol. Or Pole, however you say his name, he's got to be in and around it as well. So there's a lot of mouths to feed in that Tigers forward pack. So he could be one to, if you can see that he's going to get some good minutes, he could be one to jump on as well.
What is that projected 17 survive that NRL's got? What's their lineup there, the pack?
Pretty sure off the top of my head, they had Stefano, Apisai Koroisau, then they had...
Clemmer.
Clemmer. Yeah. Then they had IPAPS, Bateman, Offahengawe. Then they had Twal on the bench, Pole on the bench, Little on the bench, and I think they had, I forgot the last player on the bench. I forgot his name. I forgot who they had.
Okay. That's right, yeah.
But it wasn't Matamua.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Bateman does line up. If he's on an edge or playing lock, yeah, that's going to be a big factor for a few of those boys, yeah.
That's going to be the main driver.
Yeah.
Because Offa's going to 100% play prop if he's not at lock.
Yeah, more than lock. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Yep. All right. So, the other option there is Jack Hetherington. Now, there were rumours doing around at one point that Hetherington was going to play on an edge. Scotty doesn't seem to think that's going to be the case. He's probably more likely to come off the bench. What do you guys think? Do you think Kobe Hetherington, if he's in that, if he's named on an edge to start with, is he someone you guys are going to look at, or is he too much of a hothead to trust?
Yeah, there is that factor. Yeah, I think they're just they've got a few edge players in the Knights pack. Really, Brody Jones can do it. I mean, we all know Fitzgibbon can do it as well. He's likely to come back in at any point, really. He gets a couple of weeks off and then he comes back in for a 5 or 6 week stint. And with Heather being able to play middle, I agree with Scotty. I don't think it's gonna you're gonna be on an edge. I think he'll be off the bench and things, but
yeah,
I mean, depending what his role is off the bench, you never know. He could present some value. Was he 362 or something? There could be some value there, but I think it's, just a bit more of a... Mm-hmm. There's a few red flags around him, I think.
All right. So the other one that we probably should talk about in this group, and that's Gula. Now, the expectation is, and according to Joseph Tarpanay, is that Emre Gula has been training the down.
Oh, the proverbial house.
Yeah, the proverbial house has been once again trained down. Apparently, Gula is doing that. Looks like he's on track for about a 35 to 45 minute role this season. If he's getting those sort of minutes, then he's about a 0.8, 0.8, 0.5 PPM. So we're looking at around that 33, 35 sort of average.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of potential upside there in the scoring. Of those four, he's probably my pick if you were to try and find a cheap middle. He's probably my pick.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I think that's probably He's probably the one with the highest job security, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all know there's nothing worse than trading in a bloke for, a 1 or 2 weeks, and then he doesn't make the 17 and for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and you're just sitting there with not making no cash and you are the red dot. There's nothing worse than that, especially with more buyers this year, and trades are really going to be very important, even more so. So, yeah, Gula's probably got the most job security. Out of those four, yeah. I think that's probably, yeah, if you're leaning or you're deciding between one of those four, he's probably the go, yeah, depending on the other makeup of the Raiders pack, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So, let's go into our last kind of choose your player. Now, I've got four mid-range hookers. Now, most people, and my argument is you should be starting with a gun. Most people are then also starting with Brandon Smith. I think there's an argument here that you can be looking at a decent mid-range hooker. And I think there's plenty of guys. These four guys are probably ones that we need to talk about in a little bit more detail, because I feel like we're kind of sleeping on them. And I think it's really important that we get to it. So these guys are Sam Verrills, Jacob Little, Josh Hodgson, and Mitch Kenny. So Verrills has changed clubs. He's at the Titans. Josh Hodgson has changed clubs. He's at the Eels. Jacob Little has changed clubs. He's at the Dragons. And Mitch Kenny looks like he'll get the starting role with Sonny Luke coming off the bench. Lenti.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference here that you want to talk about?
Give me Little and Hodjo. I'll take those two.
Little and Hodjo. Righto.
Yeah.
Survive, do you want to talk about Verrills?
Sure, I'll take Verrills.
Cool. I'll talk about Kenny. Well, you may as well go first, Lenti, with Little, and then we'll split it up and come back to you for Hodgson. So I've just done a quick little Google. When Little plays over 60 minutes, he averages 50 points.
Yeah. And this was probably the info that I was going to go with as well. If he gets a big minute role, he's definitely worth having a look at. He's got some definite value in him, that's for sure. The makeup, yeah. What do we think at this point? Mbai's going to be the 14, something like that?
Yeah, I think I think he's either going to be 14 or he's going to be 6, especially with the stuff with Jaden Sullivan. Jaden Sullivan's got the hamstring injury. There's no Amone. There's no Ramsey. So there's even every chance that Mbai ends up at fullback. His best position is going to be at 14, but to be honest, Mbai could be anywhere. And as soon as there's going to be, if there's any injury in the back line, he's going to be the one that plays in the back line.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, then that probably helps Little's case if that's the go as well. Because, over his career, he averages just a tick under 54 when he plays over 70. Yeah. And he's priced in at low 40. So, I mean, there's definitely value there.
And even when he plays over 50, he averages 64 for a 48 average. So, like, if he plays over 50 minutes, you're expecting a pretty good score as well.
Yeah. And I think he'll probably play that 65 to 70 minute role. I mean, we know what he can do. He's got some attacking, but he's not as much as a tackle bot as McCulloch, but he does. That is probably where he's going to get the bulk of his points, though. If he plays at 65 to 70, he's looking at about a 50-51 average. So, that's still about 10 points there value. But them having the round one boy doesn't help at all. Because you want every green dot, but pretty much green dots in your side, really. A lot of people are going to run with Sloan round one because he is 250.
Yeah.
And Little being, what is he, 571. Yeah, that's too much coin to have on your bench, someone that's not playing round one, I think. if they didn't have a boy around one, I think it'd be a definite possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another one. You keep an eye on him. If he keeps churning out really good scores, and he's not expensive, so you can probably get, you'd be able to get to him somehow.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Survive. Let's talk about Verrills for a bit.
Just a quick question before I start. Is Chris Randall going to also play hooker for the Titans?
I don't think so. I can't see a situation where Randall last year was barely even good enough to be the Knights starting hooker. And no disrespect to the bloke, he's played plenty more first grade games than I have. I don't know, because you're going to have Clark there as well. And you're going to have have Jaden Campbell on the bench. Like, you can't carry Jaden Campbell and Chris Randall on your bench. That doesn't leave you with a lot.
Because if Verrill's without Randall, he has value in it. But then if you put Randall in that bench, then you have Clark also stealing minutes probably. And you also have Randall stealing minutes. That makes him non-valuable.
Yeah, I think it's Clark that's the one that's going to take minutes off Verrills, if anything.
Yeah. So, isn't Clark going to play lock?
Yeah, he might start at lock, but I think that there's a world, same sort of thing as Brandon Smith starting at lock and shifting into the hooker role when he was at Melbourne.
Yeah. So
Sam Verrills.
Usually Verrills, high minutes, he's a good player. Low minutes, he's not that good. So, I mean, it's situational. Depends what the Knights, a Titans roll up.
So, at a 60-minute thing for Verrills, Verrills averages 48.1 when he plays over 60 minutes. Had a pretty big back end of the season with some 50s and 70s and stuff throughout that. So, when he plays over 60 minutes, he does play a pretty big role. So there's a possibility there. He's a little bit dearer at 613K. So there's potential there. He does play round 13, so that might be something that people kind of look at when they're building their team.
And he's only owned by 1.26%.
Yeah. So he could be a little bit of a pod. All right. The other one, before we come back to you, Lenti, is I want to talk about Mitch Kenny. Now, Mitch Kenny is probably the cheapest of the lot of them. He's at 426K. We've got an ownership of 12.64%. When Mitch Kenny starts at hooker, let's go and have a bit of a look. Starts at hooker, he averages 41.5. So he's priced at 25. When he starts at hooker, he averages 41.5. That's generally from about 68 to 70 minutes. When he plays, I think he's going to play around about 50 minutes. Okay. When he plays over that 50-minute sort of mark, let's go to that one. And when he plays around that 50-minute sort of mark, he does only average about 30. So that's where I kind of see him. I think he's going to play. He's got to play a lot bigger minutes. I think he's got to play close to 60, 65 minutes before he becomes a buy. So I just don't think Mitch Kenny is going to get enough minutes to make him worthwhile. Lenti, do you agree with that? Moving on to Josh Hodgson.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, even if he gets a few minutes in the middle, if he goes on and Sonny Luke's playing hooker and he has a bit of a 10-minute run in the middle there, I don't think it's going to be a great perk if you've got him. Though I know he's 426 and it allows you to free up a lot of coin elsewhere, but he can't be your starting hooker. No way in the world.
Yeah.
I think you've either got to go, a higher mid-ranger or just a gun.
I just think he's going to struggle to even be, like, if he's your second or a second-choice hooker or third-choice hooker or whatever it is, that he's in your 14 to 21. I think it's almost dead money because I just can't see enough uptake in points to make it worthwhile. But he does have such a good ownership that people are definitely looking at him and things like that. But let's go to Hodgson. So, Lenti, Hodgson has just come to you guys. He's coming off an ACL, but it's not 9 months since an ACL. It's by the time the round the season starts. It'll be nearly 12 months into the ACL, probably about 11 and a half months post ACL, with pretty good preseason under his belt.
He's looking, the Warwick Farms on him. How good.
Did you see that? That was so good.
He reckons they're photoshopped. He's like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I don't know. I don't think he plays 80 straight off the bat. I think they'll manage him early in the season. I know he's been doing a lot of... He came back early pre-season as well. He's doing a lot of running and stuff. But, I mean, until you sort of get into that full contact... scenarios, like, you can do as much training as you want and stuff like that, but there's no substitute for game fitness and game contact and everything, game intensity. Yep. So I think they'll manage him early on. I can see if he's doing well and his ACL knees aren't a problem and everything, I can see him definitely jagging more minutes towards the back end of the season. He might probably play an 80 a lot. But I think those first few early rounds, they'll just manage his load, and whether he's not training every day or something, they'll just see how he's going pain-wise and movement-wise and everything like that, mechanics-wise. So, look, 532 again is not cheap. I'd probably advise people to steer clear at this point, because I just don't think he needs to play 80 to get to make you money. I just don't think he's going to do it early on. That's all. So, and you can use that money elsewhere.
So you're going to need him to be playing 60 minutes. So when he plays 60 minutes, he averages 44. When he plays 55 minutes, he goes back to an average of 41. So you're going to need him to be playing 60 minutes to be worth it. Yeah. Do you reckon he gets 60 minutes?
Oh, yeah, he'll get 60. Yeah, definitely get 60. I mean, if we're carrying Jacob Arthur, he's not going to play 20 minutes at hooker. I reckon he'll get 70, 65 to 70 early on.
Yep. All right. Let's have a look.
Minimum. Yep.
So getting into that 65 mark here, still around that 44 average.
Yeah. He plays 80. He gets up around that 50 average. But like I said, I just don't think he will early on in the season. They'll work their way up to it. I think they'll be cautious with it because, I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30 as well. Mitch Rain's about. I mean, Mitch Rain does a good job. He's serviceable and everything, but he's not a Josh Hodgson. So I think, they'll manage him early on and see how we go.
Yeah. All right. Survive, you want to add anything to that, mate, before we finish up for tonight?
Not really.
All right, sweet. Well, thank you, everybody who was a part of that. Scotty, Lenty, Roscoe, Survive. Fun trying to do something a little bit different. Hopefully we'll all be back, ready to go, get to see some trials soon. I know the Dolphins are playing this weekend against the CQ Capras. I think Manly's got a game. So we're starting to get back into footy season. As I said previously, if you liked this show, please go ahead and watch the couple already that have happened. We've got episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that do a bit more of a deep dive into some players. Hope this one's going to be really helpful for people in making that choice. I think it's got some really good stuff in here. Plenty of guys with plenty of footy knowledge and fantasy knowledge to help you out. Also, if you aren't in the Discord, we are going to have some Q&A, so please make sure you jump into the Discord. The Q&As will be coming up and throughout the season. Aside from that, thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, Tim.